Desire y'all's prayers this evening, as always. Have a thought this evening that is kind of a continuation on some of the thoughts I've had in the past on fruits. Was fruits of the Spirit, and then I went back and wrote in front of that selfless. So fruit is something, what is the purpose of fruit? Why does a tree bear fruit? Does a tree bear the fruit for itself? You might say, well, it does, that's how it reproduces. But then if you think about it, if that fruit stayed on the tree and never went anywhere, never dropped to the ground, what type of offspring is that tree going to reproduce? And if you think about fruit just from a sustenance, if I planted a nice big old apple tree down at the property and invited people over and showed them my tree, but anytime somebody reached towards that fruit, I said, don't, that's mine. What kind of impression do you think that would leave with people regarding my fruit? Do you think that they would look at those nice, delicious looking apples and think, man, you know, those are some good apples? Or would they probably be like, well, those might be good apples, but I don't know. I've never tasted one. And they may ask other neighbors, have you ever tasted one? Do you know if he's ever gave anybody, you know, an apple from his tree? And you know, if we think about it, fruit is something that's intended to be partaken of. It's something that goes beyond ourselves. So I'd like to start off turning to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And starting in verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And if we think about that list, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Have you all ever heard of anybody passing a law saying that you can't love someone? That you can't have peace with somebody, you have to have conflict? Have you ever heard of a law being passed that says if somebody's stressing you out, you only have to put up with it for maybe 2-3 days, and after that, you don't have to put up with it anymore? In fact, it's against the law to continue to suffer them. Gentleness, is there a law against gentleness? Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know, those are things that if you think about those fruits, they're not fruits intended for us as individuals. They're things that's intended for sharing with people. Would it be much good for me to be married to Diane if there was no love there? I mean, there are marriages that people have said before, well, that's a loveless marriage. And usually when a statement is made like that, everybody else looks and thinks, oh, that is such a shame. Why? Because love is generally expected to be shared with someone. You know, God loved us. So what did he do? Did he just, well, I love you, but I'm not going to let you know, and I'm going to sit up here in heaven and just, no. God loved us, and it said he did what? Sent his only begotten Son. Why? Because he loved us and he wants to reconcile us to him. So what happens if we let self get mixed in with our fruits? So if I use the term loving oneself, does that sound like a tasty fruit suddenly? Just adding that word self in there suddenly changed the whole image you just had of what that was. And if you heard people describe me as somebody that was in love with himself, do you think I would be pleasant to hang around? You might actually say, you know what? Maybe I don't want to get to know that fellow. So joy. What if your focus is making yourself joyful? Your own happiness, your own satisfaction. Where's the fruit in that? How does that play into other people's lives? What does that give them a taste of? What about if we focus only on our peace? You know, I don't care what somebody else may think, as long as I'm satisfied with the way things are going and I'm happy with it, comfortable. Things are good, right? Well, they may be good for me, but that doesn't mean they're good for other people. Now, long-suffering. Can we be long-suffering with ourselves? Have we ever considered the fact that we may be more long-suffering with ourselves at times than we should be? You know, somebody else getting on our nerves, doing something that we've been maybe trying to work with them on. I mean, I think of, you know, being a manager for years, I've worked with employees, and you know, sometimes the employees try and they're just not getting it, but they're trying, and so you keep working with them and you keep working with them. But when it comes to ourselves and long suffering, do we maybe allow ourselves a little too much time? You know, if the Lord has pointed out a shortcoming towards us, and we're sitting there with long suffering towards ourselves and that shortcoming, do you think that's a good thing? Well, Lord, it's hard. Lord, I tried yesterday, and I didn't do so good the day before, but I did try yesterday, Lord. Give me another day. Does that sound like what we need from long suffering? Going easy on ourselves? Being good to ourselves. And I'm not saying that you can't enjoy things. I want to make sure that people understand there's a balance. But I'm just talking, if you take the fruit of the Spirit and focus it on self, these change. Yes, amen. So faith, what if we believe only in ourselves? Have you ever met people whose ideas and opinions were the only ones that counted? If you were having a discussion with them at work on a technical matter that they considered themselves to be an expert in, anything you said didn't matter. Why not? Well, I know what I know, and I know I'm the expert. And I have faith in what I know, and because of that, I'm going to stand firm in my own belief. Now, what about when we get to meekness? What does meekness to self look like? Have you ever thought sometimes it's easy for us to submit to things that we start with? That we're behind and well, we can submit to that. Why? Well, it was my idea. You know, it was something I'm okay with. And if I'm okay with it, I'm willing to submit. But if I'm not okay with it, how does that look? Temperance. Have you ever known people that were temperate in everything that they didn't like, but not temperate in everything they liked? Their temperance was governed by themselves setting the boundaries. You know? Peach pie. Maybe that's the not temperate category. Onions and livers. For me, that would be good, but for other people, I know that would be, no, I'm gonna be very temperate there. I'm not eating any. Why? Don't like it. It's easy to be temperate in this area, but maybe not in the other one. So thinking about these things and the fruits of the Spirit, just putting self in there, what kind of person would we have if we took the fruits of the Spirit and just put self in every one of those fruits? Would it be somebody we would want to hang around with? Would it be somebody that we would feel like represents Christ? You know, the message in our world today is take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to. Promote yourself. I've worked at companies, they literally would take managers and send them to training on how to create your brand. How to create a memorable brand so people would remember you and it would appeal to people and promote yourself and learn how to do this. Now there's some wisdom in being able to state what you stand for and stuff like that, but the whole point of this was you need to be in charge of your career and you need to push yourself, not as in push yourself to be better, but push yourself out in front of people, make sure they see you, vaunt yourself, talk about all the good things you've done, what you've succeeded, make sure people know how good you are. We're also told not to let people belittle us or treat us badly. You ever heard the world say, don't let them do that to you? Stand your ground. Don't take that. You don't need to take that from anybody. Ever heard phrases like that? You hear it a lot in the world. Especially seems like today there's folks that are starting to do that. People that will say you need to stand with what you believe in no matter what. It's all about us. Our rights as individuals. What did Christ have to say about that? What did Christ do when it came to promoting himself? Did he go around and have his disciples blow trumpets as he walked through town so people would know the Son of God had just entered? Do we have any record of that? No. Jesus didn't come through that. What kind of things did he have to say? So I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 2. I want to look at the Beatitudes. Because these are blessings that Jesus talked about. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now this set of blessings, I want us to look at this. Poor in spirit, the first one there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You want the kingdom of heaven? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Do you know it means you're aware of how spiritually destitute you are? Of how our human nature is and how little we have to bring to the table? That if we can get our heads wrapped around the fact that our self is worthless without God, the kingdom of heaven is the blessing. Yes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So what is mourning? Mourning means you've lost something. Usually it also means we recognize that there's been an injury to us or sorrow to us. How does self react when we experience a loss? An injury. I had an employee just this past week, his truck got broke into. A bunch of stuff stolen out of the truck, company laptop, which had him really nervous because he was unsure how the company was going to react to that. But his reaction was very much focused on what's going to be the impact to me here? How bad is this going to be? And I mean, it's natural. But if we're experiencing loss, you know, if you turn to God, you'll experience comfort.
Yes, amen.
You know, you get injured, you have sorrow. I think of just the loss of sometimes as we turn to live for Him, sometimes the things we used to enjoy in the world. Do you know, if you listen to people talk sometimes, turning away from the things of the world, if you've been used to them for a while, can be a something you mourn, something you grieve over. But there's comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now meek, here, looking at this and looking at several other scriptures, it said patience in the reception of injuries. Not pressing our rights through thick and thin, or trampling on others to get our own, esteeming others better than ourselves. Now, where's the self in that? Meekness. And what do you get from that? They shall inherit the earth. Next up is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you know, this means to have an overwhelming, strong desire for the things of God, equal to our necessary food and drink. So do we ever consider learning and following after God as important to us as the daily food and drink we partake? Would you be willing to delay your supper to make sure you got your worship in? Or, well, I'm really hungry, I'm going to go ahead and eat first. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. It's just a question. Do we consider how we stack this up? Learning and thirsting after righteousness should be something that we would potentially be willing to say, you know what? Let's go ahead and hold off on dinner. Let's go ahead and make sure we get this taken care of, because it's just as important. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful, said to be so affected by the sufferings of others as to be disposed to alleviate them, to alleviate their suffering, often without expecting recompense. So when we look around our world today, what does it mean to be merciful? What does it mean to show mercy, and how do we show that in our world today? What's the fruit we would show? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now this one goes back to a little bit kind of to the passage Brother Chad read this morning. Pure in heart, says to strive to be right, not just externally where others can see, but in the heart and mind. And in the passage Brother Chad had read this morning, when they went to clean the temple under Hezekiah, they started at the innermost part, the part that only the priest would ever see. And if you think about that, if the priest had never cleansed that part, nobody outside of them would have ever known. The rest of the temple could have been cleaned up and would have looked just as good to everybody else in the land of Judah. But instead of just taking care of the outside, they started right there, dare I say, in the Holy of Holies. Where do we start when we clean ourselves up? Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Says a peacemaker, someone that strives to prevent contention, strife, and war by using influence to reconcile opposing parties, but are not officious or harmful with their interference. Do you know sometimes we can cause more conflict by the way we try to cause peace? We can be unwise, we can say things, we can overexert ourselves. And then the last one, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Reviling, persecutions, and falsehoods. How many of us want to be made fun of, mocked, excluded from things, and injured potentially on account of falsehoods said about us? How many of our natural selves say, sign me up for that blessing? Or does our natural self say, I'll pass. I'm not sure I want that. Well, let's look at the blessings that are in this. So the kingdom of heaven is mentioned twice as a blessing. Comfort is mentioned as a blessing. Now, it said inheritance of the earth. I put that as inheritance of the promised land. It's mentioned as a blessing. Fulfillment. If you follow after God, you'll be fulfilled. Mercy. How many of us desire mercy from the Lord or from those around us? Seeing God. Do you realize to date that as far as I know, there's only one man that ever walked the earth that saw God while he was alive? That was Moses. Wouldn't we like to see God? Being the children of God. What kind of blessing is that? Just think about being the son of God and everything that it confers, and then think about our right to that. Do we have any right to that? So that's a blessing, a real blessing, and a reward in heaven. Now, we all know the story of the Pharisee that went to pray. And he went and he stood praying. And how did he pray? He pretty much bragged up himself, didn't he? So he had fruits. He fasted. He wasn't evil. But his fruits were not acceptable to God, were they? What was said in that parable? Jesus said, which of these two men, the man that just beat on his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, or this other man, which one was justified that day? You know, it wasn't the man with the fruits full of self. That man's fruit wasn't considered to be worthwhile. So, next I want to go to Isaiah chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. O now, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. So here we have a description of a vineyard in a fruitful hill. Good ground. It said the choicest vines had been chosen. These vines have been chosen because of the quality of the fruit and the bearing that they would do. And this had been planted. And now the vines brought forth grapes, didn't they? So they brought forth fruit, right? That's good enough. They're producing fruit, right? Have any of y'all ever bought a lemon tree that's been grafted onto the rootstock of a wild lemon? And then accidentally didn't pay attention and let some of those shoots grow up with those wild lemons? And if you try to ever eat one of those wild lemons, you'll understand why it's been cut off and something else grafted on top. They're not good. These wild grapes, doing some digging into it, they were noxious. They were not good to eat. They would make you upset. They would do bad things to your body. Some of them could even be poisonous. You know, this person, had, in this case, it's talking about God. He planted a vineyard. And he chose, he specifically chose the vines he wanted to grow. And he put them in there and he said, the fruit I know you can produce is but then I got this noxious, and it says some of them even had an offensive smell. Like they just smelled bad without even having to taste them. The reason why I mention this is, do you know the fruits of the Spirit? If we allow self to creep in, we can add enough to that fruit that it becomes a wild fruit. It's not the fruit that God expected. Yes. It's wild. It comes from within us. It's been tainted. It doesn't have the flavor it's supposed to have. It doesn't have the smell it's supposed to have. It's not necessarily good for those around us to partake of it. And what's the point of fruit again? Generally, so that animals, humans, different things partake of the fruit. It's nourishment to the animals that partake of it. It helps carry the seeds around. But if it's a noxious fruit, nobody's going to want to touch it. And so what was the verdict on that vineyard with the wild fruit? The hedge was removed. We think of Job. What did the devil say? Why he hadn't tried Job yet when they went before God? He said, well, you got a hedge around him. You don't think God hasn't hedged us about if he's chosen us as a vine to grow in his vineyard? He's put a hedge around us. Do you want that hedge removed? Do you want the devil being allowed to go after you? The walls broken down. Said the planting was trodden on. It was actually stomped into the ground, left in ruins and waste. And you know what stood out to me? It even says God withheld the rain. He wanted that plant to die. It's not going to produce. It's in good ground. I don't want it producing wild fruit. I am going to totally eliminate it. I'm going to put it in as hostile as an environment as I can and kill it. Because it's not what I planted. It brought up wild grapes. Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. What kind of plant are we? And are we producing the fruit that the Lord wants us to produce? You all pray for me.